I fell off a ladder. 30-foot ladder. It's okay, I was on the second rung. I'm fine. I have to give Michael Nix credit for that because he checked in on me, said, I heard you were hurt. And I said, yeah, I fell off a ladder. And then he got me on text. He's like, yeah, I fell off a 30-foot one once. I'm like, dang. I was on the second rung. I was okay. But it's good to see everyone. Good to see everyone. We obviously are still on our theme of one. Our theme for Advent was Jesus, the One. And one means arrival. And even though we celebrated the arrival of our Lord and Savior on Christmas Day, we have one more week to go. And so I'm glad you're here with us. I'm glad you're here with us on a family Sunday. And it's the last Sunday of the year. So love all the symbolism here because our God is a God of new beginnings. His mercies are new every morning. And, you know, that song that we sang, You've Been God for a Long Time, I love that. That is just so down to earth, you know. You look at some of the musicians up here, and they've been at this for a long time, and you can tell, and they're good. And Tyler asks them, not me. And that's what you say to someone who's good at what they do. You make it look so easy. And I listened to that line, and it just hit me for the first time today. It's like, we need to be saying that to God. You've been at this a lot longer. I think I'll try to stop being God, and I'll let you be God, because he's good at it. He's good at it. And so, it's just good that he's on our side as we start this new year. So, as we went through Advent, we looked at five characteristics of Jesus, or five different names. He is the One. He is the One who brings light. He is the One who prophesies. He is the One who redeems, who triumphs, and who saves. And I want you to look at these and kind of just take a second and then show the rest of us with a show of fingers, not a show of hands. Show us which one speaks to you the most. Which one of those characteristics speaks to you the most? That Jesus is the One who brings light, or that prophesies or fulfilled all the prophecies, that he redeems, that he triumphs, or that he saves. Which one do you speaks to you the most? And then look around to see who some of the people are in this room that are like-minded or like-hearted, can we say that? I'm a PE coach at an elementary school, and what I would have done if we were in my classroom, I would have put all the ones over here, all the twos over there, all the threes, fours, and fives, and then we would have pelted each other with dodgeballs and see which one really wins. I went with three because there's just something about the idea of the original owner buying something back and making it better than it was before. He has redeemed us. He has bought us back, and he is working on us to make us more of the masterpiece that he intended for us to be. So to this list this morning, we can now add Jesus, the One who calls. Jesus, the One who calls. And one of the first lessons I learned about speaking was make sure it can be put into a bumper sticker. And so if I could put this into a bumper sticker for today, it would be this. Jesus is the One who calls. You are the one he calls. He calls you to your one, and that will make sense. For some of you, it already clicked. You've been here for a while. You've heard us talk about our one. But hopefully by the end of the sermon, it'll make sense to all of you. As we do a deep dive into Jesus, the One who calls, our bumper sticker, we're also going to answer these questions. We're going to answer, who does he call? What does he call us to do? How do we call? And where to start? Simple questions with simple answers. So simple, we're going to go to the next slide, and then you're going to say the answers to me, all right? I'm going to ask the question all together. Give me the answers that are up there for you. Who does he call? What does he call you to do? How do we call? Where to start? All right, let's pray. Father, thank you so much. Thank you, Lord God, for the fact that you called us. And you are always calling us. You're calling people in this room for the first time. You're calling people in this room to come on back. You're calling people who have just been walking with you for years. You've been God for a long time, and you are good at it. We are not so good sometimes at responding to your call, but I just pray right now, Holy Spirit, that you would come and fill this room and help us to bless you. Help us to bless you by listening to whatever it is that you're saying. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So on our first question, who does he call? He calls you and he calls me. And it might be good to look at why he does this. Why did he call us in the first place? Number one, because he loves us. But also he calls us because we were lost. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and save the lost." We were all lost. And even now, whether you call yourself a Christian or not, we'll be lost. We will get lost again without Jesus. Kids, his kids, or youth, anybody. Have you ever gotten lost in a store? Have you ever gotten lost at a park, at the mall, right? Parents, have you ever lost a kid? All of them. Have you ever lost all your kids? Drivers, have you ever been lost when you're driving? It is not fun. It's not fun. You're anxious, you're scared, your adrenaline is racing, and you're having to make decisions on the fly. And sometimes if you're driving, you've got someone next to you saying, ask for directions. Being lost is not fun, but what would make it even worse for me is being lost in the dark. Not knowing where you are and it's dark, that would make it worse. The book of Ephesians says, not that we were once lost in the dark or lost in the darkness. The book of Ephesians 5:8 says, "For at one time you were darkness." You were darkness. So who does Jesus call? The one who brings light? The one who calls? He calls those who are darkness. But when you respond to his call, you become light. The rest of the verse says this, "For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true." We get to walk in that instead of anxiousness or nervousness or fear when we were darkness. You know, the Gospels give a story of Jesus calling his disciples, and I love how there is not a lot of detail there. It says Jesus went up to them and said, "Come, follow me." And they followed. One gospel says, immediately they followed. And it just leaves a lot out. Because, you know, our human nature, if it gave us more detail, then we would make that a religion. We would say it has to be that way. Instead, we can look around, and we're going to talk about this. He has called us in so many different ways. And there's power in that name. There's power in his presence. And all he had to do is look into the heart, look into the eyes of these rough and tumble, stinky fishermen and say, "Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And immediately, they leave their nets, their boats, their livelihood with no answers about how they're going to make a living, and they followed him. That is our Jesus. So how did he call you? How did he call you? He has called everyone in this room at some point. And you might be in the room and you might say, "I am not a follower of Christ." But I guarantee you, he has tried. If you're here this morning, he's trying again. He's calling you. For those of you who feel like I've heard the call and I've answered that call, I just want you to take a minute and think. What was it like when he called you? I took a very unofficial survey of some folks here at church, some friends and some family, and I asked the question, how did he call you? How did you get saved? And I got answers along these lines. My parents, may it be for all the parents in this room, my parents, a friend, my youth pastor, a boyfriend's mom, VBX, what? And some of them weren't as nice. I hit rock bottom. I got busted. God can call you anywhere, anytime, any way he wants. And he usually uses people, but he can use circumstances, a dream, his written word, you getting busted. He can do anything he wants to speak to your heart. My two favorite answers were this. I got saved in the confessional of a Catholic church. That was fun to unpack. But my top one is this. While I was taking a shower, that brother got clean inside and out. So what about you? What about you? Have you answered God's call to be a follower, his beloved? Ma'am, when you were talking to Jesus during prayer and you were calling him your love and your beloved, that's beautiful. And that's what he says to you. Have you heard him? You are his beloved. I want us to just take some time right now. And Cody, if you want to make your way to Joe, I just want you to think about how you got saved. Or thank him that right now he's calling you. Who was there? What happened? Just thank God in your mind, in your heart, for how he has called you. And Joe's just going to pray out loud for us, just a quick prayer of thanksgiving, that our God is the one who calls.
Thank you for giving us these situations to be woken up to you. And even though some of these situations that bring us closer to you are painful, it's worth it because a life with you is better than a life without you. Mm-hmm. And that pain really shows a contrast to how great you are. So I pray for people who are going through those experiences, and even if they aren't painful, they are still powerful. In Jesus' holy and sacrificial name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Cody. So Jesus is the one who calls. You're the one he calls, and he calls you to your one. What does he call you to do? He calls you to be like him. So you're going to call someone as well. If you're a disciple of Christ, then you'll do the things that he did. The word Christian means little Christ. And I don't think we have to look any further than the Great Commission to see how important this is to Jesus. Now he calls us to do a lot in his name and in his power, but the last thing he said before going to the Father is found in Matthew 28. And he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. What does he call you to do? He calls you to call. And so this begs the question, the follow-up question, how? How do I do that? How do I present the gospel to people? There's a lot of different ways, and just the way we are all very different, we liked different names for God up there, 1 through 5. He has given us different ways to present the gospel. More than many, 4 or 5 times during a sermon over the past year, you've heard TW or other members of the preaching team talk about your one. Who is your one? That person. And God might have moved you on to another one since then. But can you raise your hands if you can think of that one that's on your heart? That one person, I want to share the gospel with them. I want to know how to serve that neighbor, how to bless that person at work. Can you raise your hands? So, thank you. Today, we want to bring that up again. Jesus is the one who calls, and he calls you, and he calls you to your one. And so, we're going to pray for our one right now. Cody, if you could get the mic to Miss Cheryl. She's just going to pray for our one and that we would have doors open, that we would see them, that we would hear God and obey him when he says, go take him cookies, when he says, present the gospel, when he says, just pray. So, Ms. Cheryl?
Lord, give us a sense of excitement and anticipation for this, for you to reveal that one to each of us. And I pray that as you do so, and you bring these people into our lives and these divine appointments, God, whose hearts you have prepared, that you also give us the right words to say, the right actions to take. And may your presence be so overwhelming during these encounters, Lord, that it cannot be denied, that we cannot take credit for any of it, God, and may you receive all the glory. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Cheryl. So in the book, Becoming a Contagious Christian, the authors present six types of evangelism. And we're going to go over them real quick. And I just kind of want to see, have you look at them and kind of see for yourself, I think that's me. That's my style. That's the way I think. I'm going to give you a little bit of a definition, a biblical example, and then an example of some people that you might know. All right? So without knowing a whole lot about them, unless you've read the book, the six different styles are confrontational or direct. That is not combative or obnoxious. It says confrontational or direct, intellectual, testimonial, relational, invitational, and serving. Without having talked about them a lot, with a show of five or one extra, what speaks to you? Which one do you think? That would be me. I think I'm that one. Hold them up. All right. We'll see if at the end of this you still agree. All right? Confrontational style, you think this way. I don't like to beat around the bush. I like to get to the point. Peter telling the Jews, you have murdered your Messiah and you must repent. Nothing easy and soft about that. You might be aware of the fact that we have a Spanish congregation that meets at 1 o'clock on Sundays. The name of the church is Siguiendo a Jesus, Following Jesus. Their pastor is Edwin Scott, and Edwin has a boy named Timothy. Timothy's in elementary school, and Timothy is a confrontational and direct evangelist. Everyone in their neighborhood knows that Edwin is a pastor. He's talked to them. He's met them. He's shared Jesus with them. They all know. But last year, Edwin shared with a group of us that Timothy was on his dad's case, and he said, I want us to have an event. I want us to do something. I want them to come to the backyard, have a party, a barbecue, or whatever, and I want to tell them about Jesus again. He wanted to preach a little sermon. And when you hear that heart, that's confrontational or direct. It's heavy on his heart to share this. Intellectual style. You love buying books on defending the faith. You strive to clear up issues that seem cloudy to the rest, to others. You see the logic behind faith. When so much of the world would say, Christians are they're dumb. It's blind faith. You see logic. You see it makes sense, and you want it to make sense to others. Paul is able to speak to the common Jew. Paul is also able to speak to philosophers of the day, quoting their philosophers as he's witnessing about Jesus. A couple of leaders, as I was going over this, a couple of different leaders said, Fred Visser. If you know Fred, you'd have to agree. The thing I like about Fred, though, as intellectual as he is, as smart as he is, I don't get the feeling that I do from some intellectuals that I'm being talked down to. He's humble. He is a humble man, and I walk away just feeling smarter when I talk to Fred. Testimonial style. I like to speak from my point of experience. I'm comfortable being vulnerable with details of my story. An example is Jesus heals the blind man, and he immediately goes and tells people. Even the synagogue leaders, even when it means he's going to be kicked out of the synagogue. I think I'm this style. Just ask every cashier at HEB. They know my story. I feel, though, I'm going to challenge all of you, no matter what style you think you are, I want to challenge you to know your testimony well enough, concisely enough, to be able to present it anytime. And I just want to make this offer to you. If you want help with that, I have resources that will help you write down the details. Some of you, your testimony would be 8 hours long, but your listeners got about 3 minutes. So I'd love to help with that if you want. Relational style. You seek to develop strong relationships and then share. You enjoy long and deep talks, and you like to network people. Levi the tax collector, he's called away from his booth. His life is turned upside down. He throws a big party, and he invites all his friends to come over and meet Jesus. TW is like that. Not that he was a tax collector, but TW likes to get to know people. His second home, Buffalo Wild Wings, the waitstaff, they know him. They know him. I've played volleyball with him before. The refs, they know him. He talks with them. He gets to know them. If any of you have been involved or know of Young Life, Young Life's philosophy, it's a ministry to high school age kids. Young Life's philosophy is earn the right to be heard or win the right to be heard. And they take their time getting to know high school kids and then present them with the gospel. Thing I like about that is if we do that well, you present the gospel to someone, they don't bite, they don't feel like they've just lost a friend. Oh, was this conditional? Oh, was this what you're up to? No, because you love like Jesus did. Invitational style. You enjoy adding people to activities that you're involved with. You like to attend events, and you usually take a carload to the event. The woman at the well was like this. She was villainized by the community, but when Jesus called her, she ran into the city and said, come and see this man who told me all about myself. He told me all I've ever done. Could this be the Messiah? You know who's like this? Mama Jean. Jean Billingsley. She, if you know her, you're going to be taken to church. You're going to be taken to a Bible study. That's Jean. Serving style. You see opportunities to serve that others usually miss. It's kind of a snarky comment, but it was in the book. I'm going to share it. Serving style evangelists tend to say, while others are talking, I look to get things done. To serve someone, right? You don't know this person. He was my small group leader in Wichita many years ago. His name was Brent Castillo, and he worked for the local newspaper. Someone there, one of his fellow reporters, his wife was going to have triplets, twins, and it was a lot going on, and they needed the house painted, and Brent comes to us, the small group, and says, here's a chance to serve. So we all went and painted this guy's house. And I just remember him meeting all of us for the first time and saying, I just don't understand why you guys are here. But thank you. Thank you. But what is going on right now? Because there was a group of strangers painting his house. And all we could say was, Brent saw an opportunity to serve. We love Brent. We love Jesus. House looks good. And it was done. That's what serving evangelists do. So you've seen all of those. Anyone change their mind or anyone, yep, I was right. That's, yeah? All right. Just wanted to run that by you. Because he has called us. Jesus is the one who calls. And he has called you, and he has called you to your one. One of these is something, one of the ways that you can use to reach them. But now to the last question, because it was a little awkward. Where to start? Here. But your one isn't here, more than likely. But you know what here is? This is home. This is family. And a lot of us are going to invite people here. Have you ever been to a family reunion or a holiday and you're wondering, is Uncle so-and-so going to be there? That's going to be rough. You bring somebody new to meet the family. You're hoping maybe cousin so-and-so isn't going to say what he or she usually says, right? We are no different. We're human, we're family, and there's stuff here between us. And so that's why I say, where do we start? Right here. Right here. Because this is what Jesus said in John 17, 20, 23. My prayer is not for them alone, meaning the disciples. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. That's us. That all of them, us, that we may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me. We have the glory of God amongst us, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. So Jesus wants us to be in unity as a body of believers, and that's important because we're called to expand this family. We're going to bring visitors in. Guests are going to just drop by. And in John 13, 35, Jesus says, and by this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. So is that the case right now? Is there someone in this room that needs to be your one before your other one? Is there someone in here that we need to make things right with? Ask for forgiveness. As a church family, we can stand under one of two banners, and they're not scripture, just sayings. But we can stand under the banner of charity begins at home, right here, or familiarity breeds contempt. Which would you prefer? So all that to say, as we're wrapping up this year, and I think it was Tyler who mentioned closure, let's bring some closure to any angst between us or any relationship that needs to be cleaned up. And so let's start. Tyler's going to come on up here, and this is what we're going to do. We're going to pray for each other. I'm going to ask you to stand up and then tell me who you're mad at. We're going to go section at a time. We're going to ask this section to stand up. And the rest of us, we're going to pray. Eyes open, looking at our brothers and sisters or friends or guests, strangers. I don't know. But we're going to take the time to pray for them as God puts it on your heart. And ask, is there someone I need to go make up with? Someone I need to apologize to? I pray for their one. I pray for chances for them to share the gospel. I pray a blessing over them for this year. Whatever God puts on your heart, we're going to pray for that section first. Would you guys stand up, please? We're going to pray silently. I'll let you guys know when you can sit, and the next section is going to stand up. Guys can be seated, please. Can we get this section to stand, please? We're going to pray over you. Can be seated. Can we pray over you guys? Stand, please. You can be seated. And if you guys wouldn't mind standing up. Amen. Can I get you all to stand, please? I'm going to say a verse over you, then pray. And we're good. Ephesians 4, 3 through 6 says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Father, we just thank you that that is you. That is what you have called us to, this mystery of us being one in you. And so then we lift up the miracle of you calling us and then calling us to call others. Make it so, Lord God. Give us eyes to see opportunities to serve. Give us people to go with. Give us your heart for the lost. And Lord Jesus, I just pray that this time next year, there would be so many people filling these seats that aren't here right now, that don't even know you right now, that they would be bringing glory to your name as well. We love you, and we pray in your name, Jesus, as Joe said, the sacrificial name of Jesus. Amen.